This week on the droids are back, and they're talking about what they've been doing Star Wars related for the last few months as we get ready for Obi-Wan. Fast approaching, we're ready for the premiere of Obi-Wan at the end of May. We're talking about all of it and so much more on the droids. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris and Ryan, I am Mike, and I'm so regretting that I did not just fire up a real lightsaber for that sound. Because I got a few at Edge, and I don't know why I didn't just immediately do that. Kind of embarrassing. Can we re-record?
I mean,
can we start over?
It's not possible.
Nah, remember our bylaws that we've
we have our one, with, yeah, the one take droids. Pod.
We must only do it.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we'll get into a lot of things, but as to not bury the lead, the droid boys all pitched in and sent Mike to Galaxy's Edge.
So Mike's been there for about, 2 months? You actually stayed there.
Yeah, I've been living within a Sarlacc pit that they offer as an additional experience. It's double the price of the Galactic Star Cruiser. It's $12,000 for a month and a half. So I guess it actually ends up being cheaper.
It's not bad. And you got that Beskar armor to take out.
We spared no expense. We started an Indiegogo in the guise of one of our cats needing surgery, and raised $250,000 in 3 days. and we sent Mike to Galaxy's Edge.
I feel like I should get my own Star Cruiser for that amount.
Yeah. And if you did donate, you will get a t-shirt. So don't worry. It wasn't all for naught.
And the cat is fine.
The cat is fine. All the cats are fine.
I saw many Loth cats.
You did.
So no joke. This is going to be most of what we talk about today, along with touching on the new Obi-Wan trailer, is that Mike did go to Galaxy's Edge. He actually, a few years ago, you received an invitation addressed to Christian Harloff. Didn't say anything, but it was for now.
Yep.
It said, so sorry for the mix-up. We meant to invite you, but it was you just went as him. what a dated reference no one even knew at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but 3 years ago, the actual story is we were all going to go to Galaxy's Edge.
I often forget this. We had tickets bought. Yes,
We had a hotel room booked. We had park tickets.
I was looking at the Zoom H4N to bring.
I guess it's because I never sent anyone any money that. I forgot, but it didn't feel real. We were supposed to go in May of 2020. Yeah.
Well, those who are familiar with the Disney experience, the My Disney app, you have to put in names and everything about who's going to be there. All of the droid boys' names are still in My Disney Experience app.
Wow.
So when I was trying to choose, who's going on this ride with me, I could have selected Ryan or Chris.
Oh,
or
my
Sam.
God, and you shed a little tear.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I did shed a tear every time because I was just like, they're in there. They're
there.
Did you
look at the person next to you a lot and said, this one's for Ryan? And I'm like, who? What? What are you talking about?
Well, no,
about?
They said Ryan. Yeah, oh, yeah. Are you talking about Ryan or the droids you're looking for, a Star Wars podcast? Yeah.
I thought I recognized that voice. Are you Mike from the droids pod?
You know what? Oddly enough, I will tell you a story that has happened to me, not the droids pod. We all went to Penn State. I did a Penn State football podcast.
Yes.
I was at a tailgate once, and also someone was recording the moment that it happened. Somebody, we were talking and they were like, wait, are you from Chicago? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, I listen to the Blue White Football podcast now.
Wow.
Rest in peace, Blue White Football podcast. But yeah,
I had that for the Blue White Football podcast.
I once worked for a YouTube channel, kind of called. I'm afraid people will look this up. I worked for one, and I was at a restaurant out of town, and someone came up to me and said, "Are you Ryan from insert name of website here?" And I said, "I am. My goodness, thank you so much, a fan." And it turned out it was just our intern's girlfriend.
Oh, they actually knew you.
They actually just knew me, like, from stories at work.
That's funny. One time at a Moe's Burritos, I was at the counter, and I was wearing a hat, a baseball hat, and dark rimmed glasses, and the person behind the counter insisted that I was a film director, and I was not admitting to it.
But so they didn't say which one?
They didn't say which one. I feel like this was probably post The Force Awakens, so I was probably going for a bit of a JJ look at that time. So I assume they thought that I'm just going to take. So I just took it. I was like, maybe. I don't know.
And Chris, you are a film director.
I got my burrito. You know what? At that moment, I was. And I still am. Thanks, Mike. I am.
Yeah.
Barfield.com, barfieldmovie.com, I think. Go check it out.
Every time, it's great. I remember where we used to put up those postcards before a screening, and every time I go by those places, I'm like, is it still there? Is it there?
Yeah.
Is it Barfield on?
Yeah, Mike, a producer on the short film. We'll have to put that.
I thought at first that you said Garfield.
See, that's honestly why we had some legal trouble. But
right, you did name it the Farfield, A Tale of Two Kitties.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Surprisingly, Bill Murray easy to get for both. So
right, you just told him that Ethan Coen wrote it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we'll have to put a link into that. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people don't know the droids. They're not just here on this pod. We're doing other stuff. We don't only get not recognized
for doing the droids pod. We get not recognized. Exactly. For doing a lot of things.
Exactly, exactly.
And I sounded like I was boasting a little bit about that, but I more so was just like, it was funny that you made a joke that seemed almost exactly like what did happen one time.
No, listen, we were boasting a little bit. That's why I said it's getting gross. But
yeah, that's
thankfully,
why I brought it around.
Thankfully, we're one droid short today, so if four people had gone, people would have thrown it.
It's too much. My story involved a burrito, so I thought it kind of brought us down.
I think my story involved some day-old lobster eaten at a tailgate. So.
And my story also involved an unsaid burrito.
So there you go. I mean, and we're back, and this is a Patreon episode.
Always, everyone is.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Think there's a new echelon of like where we're taking the droids pod. You know, recognized on Batuu. That's certainly up there. Actually, potentially even being asked to be the new Batuu radio host because Rex in the cantina, he is. But also, if you go into any of the restrooms, there is an always on Batuu radio, and I think we could fit in there. I think we
listen as a podcast that has famously been rejected from the podcast stage at Star Wars Celebration.
Official.
I think that we are
Star Wars
next
Celebration
in line.
Rejected podcast. That we
I think
put that
we
on
are
the
next in line for the Batuu stage.
We should put that on the title. A Star Wars Celebration Rejected podcast.
It has nothing to do with quality. It's because our takes are too hot.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Exactly. Yeah.
Look, it's all very...
Isn't my hot and fresh? We can cut all
they
that.
They said we need trade some roots. More cold. And
whatever
such.
You guys want, we'll go through. We'll re-edit. In the spirit of Star Wars, we'll go back and re-edit every episode.
I thought Rise of Skywalker was excellent.
I watched it one times.
This is the first time I've walked out of a Star Wars movie and really liked it.
I'll be rooting for the Denver Broncos.
But really, congratulations to all the podcasts that got accepted.
Yeah, for real. I'm excited to listen, and that's always
a
fun.
I do think I didn't look at the full lineup, because I've been jilted, but but I do know that like a lot of really good podcasts are good.
Yeah, I agree.
And
yes,
not ones that are mired in controversy, as far as I can tell.
I believe they've been banned.
Have they?
Haven't?
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know if they've been officially banned, but I don't think you're being funny. Like they're not invited. Right?
Wow. Yeah. How the mighty have fallen.
At first I thought maybe because of our famous feud. That's why we weren't invited. Our beef fest, yes.
Congratulations to all our colleagues in the Star Wars podcast.
All our
sphere.
Peers, friends, and colleagues. We congratulate you all privately, but we figured we'd probably say it too.
Now I'm trying to suck up to all these other podcasts.
Do they only have 100 listeners as well?
Exactly. Hey, I thought that was the requirement.
It's not quantity, it's quality.
Yeah, exactly.
And they are the finest group of scum and villainy that anybody
and,
could hope for.
And we have almost 250 episodes, so I don't know. You decide.
I mean, you can do something with that. I mean, I'm sure there's... but then, ripe with copyright.
Well, okay, so Mike, let
walk
me
us through
listen.
It.
I'm gonna. We'll start with the most important stuff, and I know that you got it. How was the tip yip?
Ooh,
you know, I can't believe honestly, it took us this long.
It's very funny. I had to make an extra trip to get the tip yip because I started with a Ronto wrap, and we've talked
That'll
about the tip yip.
$600, please.
We've talked about the tip yip enough on the pod that right. I'm like, if yeah. I do not get the tip yip, it is going to be something I'd regret.
I would have cried inside.
I would have been mad.
And honestly, I thought the tip yip was more of a beef dish, and it was a chicken.
What was the Ronto wrap?
The Ronto wrap was more of a sausage with a slaw, and it was a good slaw, and I liked it very much. I also had the Ronto.
I'm scared. I understand that it's supposed to be like Star Wars food, but it's scary to me that you say it's more of a chicken.
Well,
like, what is it really?
That was just a little bit of color I was adding to the commentary.
Every day you notice there's one less mascot walking around.
I read a book every night to my kids that is about a train
a full
locomotive.
Novel.
Yeah, well, a full novel. It's just called a locomotive. And there's a part of it where they're like, if the chicken chased like prairie dog, don't ask any questions because it's all about like going out west. And every time I was like, I don't know how to explain this to a 3-year-old.
Why would they even put that in?
They eat a prairie dog?
It's a very long book about traveling on the first trains out to the old west. And it's,
wow.
It's
just... Oh, it was the Steinbeck book, right?
Yeah.
So you're reading the voice?
I am. This is how I do it with my children.
Wow, well, you know, that's good then.
That'll put them to sleep.
I wish it did. They just want to keep reading it. It never stops.
It never doesn't stop.
Anyway, the tip yip.
Yeah. When do we get to the pelt trade?
Well, I actually have to start the book with. The book starts by saying, men came from far and wide to build the train. I'm like, many of them not by their own will. Many were forced to be part of
it.
Because it doesn't explain that there was slavery involved. No.
Yeah,
it just shows a bunch of people building the train. I'm like, great.
They didn't ask this. These aren't all train builders, kids.
Well, and they clearly have like horseback riders who are making sure that the people are doing the work and ready to punish them if they're not.
What
and
is
I'm
this
like,
book?
What is this? It's a like a Newbery Award winning book. It's very detailed.
Is
I enjoy
it for children?
It is for children, probably older
like
than
a
my
Ken
children.
Burns documentary.
It is
Why don't
older.
You just read them like Darth Vader and Son or something?
Yeah,
I know, but unfortunately, I have to like. Just skip with the stuff that's spoilers.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
You don't want them to
I
go
don't
to
know,
school and right. be a bunch of nerds.
You know,
Brian.
That's actually one of the things that was an incredible oddity of being at Galaxy's Edge. And I think we've talked about this before on the pod, but in the 90s, and because of the lack of the internet, you almost felt like in your own world that you were one of the few people who cared about Star Wars. You had like your friends in middle school or high school who also liked Star Wars.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I will say I had one.
Yeah.
And very quickly into high school, I was like, well, I can't actually still be the Star Wars kid because I need to, you know, try to conform, which I didn't, you know, as high school. But in that, like being at Galaxy's Edge and being like, this is popular culture that everyone experiences.
Yeah.
And every type of person now has a Star Wars shirt.
Oh,
can't. My 1992 self couldn't conceive of this.
Right. Well, you know, also, though, I was totally joking about anyone being a nerd. It's great. Whatever. The thing is that statistically, like, everyone has seen and enjoyed the movie Star Wars, whether they said it or not.
Yeah.
Like,
but it was so much harder to know at that time.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone
like,
was hiding it.
But you knew it was popular, and you knew that it was out there, and it was big enough. But I don't know, I definitely felt like I would have never expected what I would consider to be, you know, whatever the group of popular kids at that time would have... actively dressed up and tried to show off their Star Wars love.
Right. Yeah.
This is a similar feeling I had when this is a strange comparison, but like there was like a shot in one of Zach's, I think it was in a Batman v Superman, where there was a shot of like the Robin suit that like it was Jason Todd's Robin suit, right? Mm. And everybody was talking about like, oh my god, like they're going to talk about Jason Todd, and I was like, since when does everybody know who Jason Todd is? And I was like, which is cool. I'm glad. But it was like one of those things where it was like, if you had told me When, like, I was talking to people about, did you know there was a 900 number where they were deciding if they were going to kill Robin and it was within 72 votes? That'd be a thing that everyone knew? Yeah. I'd be shocked. And so, when you're standing in front of the Millennium Falcon, I'm sure you were also shocked to see, you know, nerds and jocks holding hands in front of the Millennium Falcon.
I guess, in ways, you know, we all won. We all got what we wanted, I guess.
That's true. Someone. Now, let me ask you, like, a pork sausage, a veal sausage...
Well, so
chicken
sausage. It was more, the Ronto was more of, I guess, a pork sausage. But to go back to the tip-yip, it is just like a chicken ball that, you know, is deep fried. And so it's sort of like a chicken nugget, but it's a lot more chicken. And
you mean like a ball of chicken? Or like a chicken nut?
It was a ball of chicken.
Because if I'm paying $16, it better be bigger than a chicken nut.
It was definitely more. But it was quite dry, not very tasty, and had like broccoli and mac and cheese. The Ronto wrap was good. The Ronto breakfast wrap was good. I will, just since we're on food and delicacies, I am absolutely a Blue Milk fan of what they created. I think there are a lot of people who do not like it, and it's very berry forward. I must have had 8 of them by the time I was done.
So is the Blue Milk actually dairy-based?
No, it's more of a slushy, is what I would say.
You know, 8 of them on a hot May day in Florida of dairy-based milk. That seemed hefty.
I would be one of the brothers from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia who just drink milk only. I'm forgetting the name of the characters.
Are those the McPoyles?
Yeah, the McPoyles. That's, you know what? Wow, so, what a sketch they should do with Galaxy's Edge where they're just out there drinking Blue Milk all day.
That would be like a good Lego Star Wars sketch. Is it?
That would be, yeah.
Is it sweet? Is it sour? What is it?
No, it's very sweet.
It's very sweet.
Yeah, it's very sweet. And I got a pretty big sweet tooth and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then I felt like the green milk... which I was actually wanted to just immediately, you know, like hoist it over my head and say, yeah. Ryan's creation, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And where's the teat? Give it to me straight from the teat. I don't want anything but
pure
teat.
Is that a moof? What was that? Is that no, it's not a moof, is it?
There is a name for it. And I have the collectible cup that I brought back that shows a bank on one side.
Nice.
It has the, and you know, the sea creature on the other that I'm forgetting. The
name
of. Well, they said in 2024 that they want to do... Basically a combo kind of restaurant, like from the opening scene in Clockwork Orange with right. milk.
Right. Now, it's all organic, right? That's true.
Yeah, everything at Disney is all organic.
Yeah, there you go.
But I really enjoyed it. My three-year-old also enjoyed the Blue Milk.
Yeah.
But I just was not expecting to really appreciate it. A 95-degree day. And I had... 2 days there, so my 8 were spread across 2 days.
So that's,
but I just kept on wanting more.
Yeah,
and
that's kind. I mean, that's why Amperu. That's why Amperu's getting it ready.
Yeah. No, it has not, and I'm not complaining at all. But it was just really something fun to sit there and drink a Blue Milk.
Yeah.
And also then, speaking of things I just never expected to happen. Was having my three-year-old be like, I want more Blue Milk, Dad.
You thought you'd
and
never...
Never thought, like, why would Blue Milk be something we're consuming? Like, in the 90s, I just never expected it to be something that you'd just go get. And
you
it
can't,
would be
yeah.
something anybody would want.
Yeah. That Amperu, she was honest. Do you think it's a creation? Do you think you can get it in many places? Or do you think it's just something Amperu was making?
No, I think it's... Because it's from the Bantha. Like a Bantha.
And much like Luke in the desert, Mike... In the Florida sun, consume the Blue Milk.
So, we'll save it for an After Hours podcast where we talk about how you got hammered drunk at the canteen.
Oh,
Mike sent us like 18 cocktails that he drank.
I did. And I went back and quickly fell right to sleep.
And exactly.
Because I will say this with no specifics, you know, I could have been in any of the Batus. You know, don't go and talk to anyone at this kid. I had 6 or 7 drinks.
Are you about to say you were overserved?
Uh-huh. Like, they're supposed to give you 45 minutes to have 2 drinks.
Oh, yeah.
I had a Fuzzy Tauntaun, a Jedi Mind Trick, a Bespin Fizz, a Rancor beer flight of 4 different beers, and... probably like two. Oh, the Yubnub. I had a Yubnub, which is comes in an incredible collector cup that is like supposed to be etched all over the sides by Ewoks to represent the Battle of Endor.
Wow.
And I love it. And it was probably
Memorial Cup.
Like $48 for it with the drink. And then they said, oh, but don't worry. Refills are only
$16. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, I'm not worried, bud.
And they didn't laugh at all.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
They were totally genuine about it. But,
oh, my God.
But there was, it was a solid amount of drinks. And I felt very good afterwards and had a lot of fun.
Do you think in the world of Batu, they would have named a drink the Jedi Mind Trick?
Yeah, probably not. That's a little breaking the world.
All the other ones checked out. Jedi Mind Trick seemed like very specific, but maybe, I don't know. Who knows? It's possible.
But I didn't even get through the whole list. I got to go back and have a few more drinks.
That's
but
right.
The cantina is great.
Yeah.
I have a couple of things with it that I would just say as it's open to all ages. So, you have a limit. There's a lot of families in there. It makes it harder for people to get in. Whereas if it was 21 plus, it would just feel like a little bit more easy because it's so hard to get a reservation at the cantina because everybody's trying to get in there. And I felt that way about a lot of the stuff at Galaxy's Edge. Everything needed a reservation, which I was not expecting. I didn't know I needed to reserve a time to spend $300 on lightsabers. I thought it would be very easy to get them. Instead, I had to reserve a time to do that, which was weird.
Okay.
But by being in the cantina, after you get past the drinks, there's really not anything else in there. The decor is great. It's like the cantina that you expect. But they didn't like add some animatronic at the end of the bar that looks like Ponda Baba or, having some creatures in there or have some sort of moment where there's almost a theatrical experience where someone pretends to shoot someone in the cantina. They just, because it's not a ton of space in the cantina, they probably don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
But it just felt like if they turned it into 21 plus and still probably didn't serve as much as they serve me, they could like create a little bit more of an experience.
You wanted the Johnny Rockets experience of the cantina. Look,
give me Dex. Put Dex behind him.
Exactly.
Somehow he's the one who got hired by Oga.
Let's get, what's the alien? Is it Max Rebo? Is that who we're talking?
Yeah. So they've got Rex, who used to be in Star Tours, which is cool. Yeah. And that it's fine. But
is Star Tours still there? Yeah.
Yeah, Star Tours is still there. And
is Rex
I gotta tell
there?
You. No, it's been C-3PO for a while. They moved Rex out a long time ago.
And Anthony Daniels gets work wherever he can. Oh, yeah,
he gets every job. But I will tell you that Star Tours, I think, may not be long for this world. There's not a lot at Disney where you can walk on with no weight.
Oh.
And I walked on Star Tours 12 times.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, it is sad. They relocated Rex because of allegations.
Oh, yeah.
So that also didn't help its case.
Well, true.
That's
a good point. But
now,
Mike,
you walk in.
Walk
so
us
you're
through
standing
it.
In front of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Come on.
So It's funny that we're talking about this.
Enough with the blue milk, Mike.
It's kind of like building up to this. The best description I have of it. Well, I mean, first of all, I was, just all emotions when I walked up.
Right.
It was, I am the type of person, and you both probably know this, where I try to not reveal, I talk a lot, but I try not to reveal all of my excitement in this podcast. I probably do more than a lot of other places in my life because I'm very much like open to talk about how excited I am about Star Wars on this podcast and other things. But a lot of other places, like I've been grown up being told you're too excited about things, Mike, or you're too obsessed about it. And that's been a part of my life is like, stop being too intense about the things you like. And I'm like, oh, okay.
We might want to dog ear that.
Yeah,
talk about it a little more.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a therapist, Ryan. I'm working on it. Got to get there. But I heard that a lot. So in my adult life, I've almost always not revealed how excited I am. When we were on our way to Galaxy's Edge, I was like, it has been 2 years that none of us ever would have expected to be through. And there were many points where I was like, I don't know that I will ever make it to Galaxy's Edge. I don't know if I will ever see the Millennium Falcon in real life. And I equated it in a way, and it's a little bit odd, but as a sports fan, I've been a Cubs fan most of my life. And when the Cubs won the World Series, it was, you know, Cubs hadn't won since 1908, and most of my life I'd never seen them even contend. They won the World Series, and, you know, kind of overwhelmed with emotion at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Walking up and seeing the Millennium Falcon was like the Cubs winning the World Series to me.
Wow.
It was.
Wow. It was, I got chills.
That was how I felt. And I knew that my, like I said, I try not to reveal my emotions, but yeah. I was in tears, and I was having a hard time holding it back because it was just, and every time, it never gets old. Like, I spent all day on May 4th in the park and kept coming around corners and seeing it from a different angle. And you just want to like laugh to yourself that this is a thing that this, going back to the 90s again, I just couldn't conceive that at some point there would be a full-size Millennium Falcon that I could see that would, if you really let your imagination run, it's very easy to think, they could just pull up the landing gear right now and take off. It just looks that did you, the detail is so
Mike, good. Did you look to your left and then like look to your right and just see two other people just giving that same look where you're
basically,
like,
yeah.
Everyone kind of gives each other a knowing nod, like, yeah, I know.
But yeah, pretty much. That was the way it was. But
that's incredible.
That's amazing.
And do you have to, when you go into, so doors open, you're in Galaxy's Edge, is that kind of like, is that the first thing you see?
No.
Is that like,
you walk in, you go through a big tunnel, and the cool thing is you kind of lose all the sound from the other part of Hollywood Studios, and then you start to hear kind of like almost jungle creature sounds that are supposed to be Batuu or a little bit of music. You go past Rise of Resistance first, which is the marquee ride.
Yeah.
Or at least the entrance to it.
What does the outside of it look like?
That looks like a Resistance base. You know, you kind of have a turret and you have a little bit of a...
Like built into a hill kind of thing?
No, just in front of the line. So it's not built into the hill, but it looks natural. Like it looks like it fits for what would be. Then you see an A-Wing and an X-Wing, and, you know, seeing an X-Wing again, which is a funny part because they have two X-Wings in there. One of them is in the line for Rise of Resistance that you can't see unless you wait 40 minutes or more. And when you get to it, it's Poe's X-Wing, and you're rushed right into the next part of the ride that you can't even, like, take pictures or admire it. And I'm like, why would you spend all this money to build this X-Wing that you can't even see very much? But anyway, you then come in, and you can see, like, the full marketplace. You see Ronto Rap, and then you go past the First Order section. You really have to walk through the whole park to get to the Falcon.
Oh, so you got to walk for it.
Yeah, which is cool, though. I like that they did that, and then you come around a corner, and it's just there, and, you know, it's...
And then it's there. Now, what scale are we working with here? I don't know if you know this, but my brother and I, we built this 1/6 scale Falcon, and it was... It fit in our basement, so I'm just wondering how would it compare to that?
Yeah, I think this is a 1-to-1, Chris. I think this is a 1-to-1 scale.
That's crazy. Were you surprised at how large it was, or like how small it was?
You know, I don't know.
Was it just how you dreamed?
It was that. It was just exactly what I expected.
Perfect.
I didn't think about the scale as to whether or not they got it right. Yeah, it just it felt right. But you think about it because. For them, where they, you know, did the movies and they had, you could scale it easy off. Like, all right, Chewbacca is 7'1" and his head is 2 feet below here. So we need to think about like, what's the scale of that and how's that fit? And they did that exactly right.
Wow.
And it is fully there. You can walk all the way around it. Once you get in the line for Smuggler's Run, you walk all the way around it and you see the back and there's just constant noises as if it was powering up or like being fueled up again.
Wow.
You know, it can shoot out smoke from different parts of it the way that it would. I kept on like pretending to be like, oh, you know, there must be Minox out here. Just thinking that something's going to be chewing on the power cells.
Right.
But it was just, you wanted to keep taking pictures.
Yeah.
It was great that you could stand underneath it. I was actually hoping that it rained so I could recreate Rey reaching out in the rain from underneath the Falcon. And it didn't, unfortunately. But it was, and it's also the scale of it takes you out of thinking about that you're in a theme park.
Right.
Like you're just, there's so much of the rest of it where you're kind of like, oh, there's a bunch of tourists and people driving around in scooters and it's hard to feel like you're immersed in it. But then when you're there and staring at the Falcon looking up, it's like everything else disappears. It's just, phenomenal.
Was the compressor bypassed in this?
You know, when I got into the cockpit, you didn't have to bypass the compressor.
That's good.
Real question. Round dish or square dish?
Square. I actually talked about it when I was there. Well, because you have to think about this
whole part. It's canonically, it makes sense.
Well, the thing, and this was a funny thing, I did bring my written and directed by Rian Johnson shirt, and I was going to wear that on the second day that I was there. I did not. But it all takes place immediately after The Last Jedi. So essentially, if you didn't like The Last Jedi, well, and you go to Galaxy's Edge, you're still living in a Last Jedi world here. This is Last Jedi.
Sorry.
First and
sorry,
foremost.
Sorry, haters.
Wow. Now, you said the antenna, the dish. I was thinking something. I was thinking of the dishes, and I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, more of a TGI Fridays or a Ruby Tuesday.
I got
they
you.
They do
so
sell
it is.
A specific Galaxy's Edge spork, if anybody's interested.
Wow.
And then when they're over at the docking bay.
I love those spoons.
Is it Forky from Toy
yeah,
Story 4?
Yeah, it's Forky. I've been watching a lot of Forky lately, so yeah.
There you go.
You know what's funny about the Millennium Falcon that they built, which of course sounds amazing. I can't wait to see it in real life.
I'm actually really excited to see Ryan, your reaction. I know we're all going to have a big reaction when we go together, but I'm excited when I see yours as well.
But I was thinking about like how they talked about how they built, you know, it was a huge deal that they like built a one-to-one, you know, version of it, which of course is a huge deal. But then I was thinking about how it's funny that like for the first Star Wars movie, which was an $11 million movie, like that was probably like a tiny part of the budget. That they were just like, we need to build this spaceship. I don't know. Yeah. And then for them to rebuild the thing that was like super lo-fi and probably really cheap cost like more than that movie cost, I'm sure.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And that's very funny.
It is.
It is. And it's funny to look around the park and see them try to do so many things that are like clearly crap that they just pulled out of a dump somewhere and threw on the side of a building to make it look like it was lived in.
Wow.
And they made that that's what is a theme park that they've put together. Like they've got wires that are hanging between things that are dressed in a way to make them look like realistic wires that would be if you lived in Star Wars. And it's kind of, you know, and they've got like droid scraps just sitting around and a probe droid that is just hanging off the side of a building in a net. You know, just cool things like
any,
that.
Any gonk droids?
Oh,
around?
Plenty of gonk droids.
Wow.
But this is actually the other thing. Suggestion for Disney, do some nights that are theme immersive nights, because you know you actually could dress up as a Star Wars character on May 4th. It's one of the only days they let adults do that.
Okay,
because you're not allowed as an adult to dress up as a character because then children might think you're part of the cast, and so they don't let them do that.
Well, that's probably a good move.
But they let them do it on May 4th. Have a night where you actually have droids going through the entire park. Have gonk droids. Have R2 astromech droids. Have creatures. Let there be some times where it's like, okay, we're going to ask people to pay more to come on this day.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, you know, 25 to 30 creatures also mulling through the whole thing.
Just R2 with that drink cart thing.
Yeah.
Start handing out blue milk to everyone.
And you can, I didn't mention this, you can get spiked blue milk.
That was a question. Yeah. I didn't know if it was appropriate to ask.
Here's my suggestion to Disney. A few nights a year, maybe around Halloween, maybe around, you know, the spring solstice. I don't know. You have an after hours, all adults, all costumes, all masks, no names, no rules.
That's very Disney. Very on brand.
Seems, what is that? What is it? Downtown Disney? Did you ever go there?
What
is it still
was
around?
Once called Pleasure Island. And now it's Downtown Disney. Yes. Pleasure Island, which was a Pinocchio reference.
Oh.
But also a reference to sex stuff, I guess. But yeah, they would have like
this is why we're not at Celebration.
this is what they're missing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do have some tips for those who may be attending.
Let's hear it.
Or visiting.
And then we need to hear about the rides, because I don't want to let the people get by without us talking about the rides.
True.
Yeah.
So Smuggler's Run, and that's one of my tips. Go with your group on Smuggler's Run the first time. You know, if you have six people, that's great. It fills every position within the cockpit. Mm-hmm. But then after that, do single rider. And then you can do every different role, and you can go on it as often as you want. Single rider, I think I went on it like 10 times. Because there's never
you can't
a line.
Ride the ride anymore.
The children. But you, they're, because they're always, the numbers don't always work out. They don't always have six.
Oh.
So they need somebody to fill in.
Oh.
And so
classic,
then single riders.
Raid matchmaking.
Yes. Yes.
But so you can walk right in. You skip the pre-show, which, you know, that's why I say do it for the first time with a group and go through the whole pre-show. But you can get right in and you do it all the time. And there's a lot of people that I've talked to. I've read reviews where it's like, oh, you know, unless you're the pilot at Small Girls Run, it's really not that great. And I say total bullshit.
Wow.
I had so much fun as a gunner. Yeah. I had so much fun as an engineer. They're giving you so many different switches, and like, it just feels right. The click of the switch, the flips that you're doing. Yeah. You think about Han every time he had to make some changes, or Chewie, and just things that are going on.
I heard they had Harrison Ford in there to make sure they all sounded right.
I heard that too. Yeah. Actually, I remember he said in the 70s, the switches all accidentally didn't stay. They kept falling down. And so then when he was doing The Force Awakens, he's like, oh man, this stuff actually works.
That's what happens when they spend $12 million.
But I loved each of the roles. Obviously, the pilot is definitely the most fun, especially if you're the right pilot and you get to do the jump to hyperspace.
Wow.
And speaking of times where I've, you know, not wanted to show my enthusiasm, when I'm in the cockpit and not that person in that right seat, I yelled punch it every time.
Oh, nice.
Every time that we're supposed to do hyperspace.
Is everybody doing the lines?
Yeah. Are you yelling woo?
Yelling so much. And especially, you know, you're trying to avoid hitting things, and if you're not the pilot, you're like, down, 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 oh, take a left. You know, like you're just yelling. It's great. You get into it, you just have so much fun with it. But Smuggler's Run is a really fun ride. It reminded me of Star Tours, except, you know, you've got a group that's in control of it.
Right.
You've got some fun things that you're doing. It's different each time. I did it, like I said, 10 times. One time, our hyperdrive broke. So when we got back to Batu and we dropped out of hyperdrive in the middle of it, we were in an asteroid field and they started playing the
wow.
And it was awesome to hear that as you were going through an asteroid field.
That's incredible.
You don't get to do that every time, which I thought was just really cool that happened. But the whole point of Smuggler's Run is that you're doing a mission for Hondo. And Ryan, I thought about you every moment with this. The Hondo animatronic didn't work the entire time I was there.
Oh,
so they had it covered up, and you just see Hondo on a screen giving you directions.
Oh,
and
what
happened? I have no idea, but you know, they usually have things break down on the rides.
I think Mike's pouring blue milk down Hondo's mouth.
I was like, come on, man. You know, you're on Davenport. But so not experiencing that part of it was a little disappointing.
Sure.
But you're there, you're doing missions for Hondo. You're supposed to go and steal some coaxium on Corellia, a little bit of a Solo connection there.
And make Solo 2 happen.
Yeah, it makes Solo 2 happen. You're chasing a train to get coaxium, and you know, you're harpooning it, and that's kind of like the route you take.
What's the runtime on something like this? How long from...
I would say, it's about... Well, sorry, you're going to say how long from when?
Well, I guess when you sit down to when you're back in line again, in your case.
I would say, well, from when you're done, because the ride, though, is also the experience of the pre-show, but also when you get in and then you are in the main hall and you're sitting there at the Dejeric table if you want to, that's part of the experience, too.
Wow.
Like you're there waiting to get into your cockpit.
And then you get like, you get like there's like a transmission from Hondo kind of thing?
Well, sort of. You come in and there's all these different flight crews and they just kind of line you up and then they say, okay, you're ready to go. And then you walk down the hallway to walk into the Falcon. And there's no way when you're walking in, like I had to put my hand on the top of the cockpit, like walking in. I was looking for the dice, but the dice aren't there because obviously it's after Last Jedi. So of course the dice would not be there. So it was kind of cool that they were on top of
Did
all
you
that.
Tell the Disney worker? He said, I'm home.
Shit. But it was, all of that is like part of the experience. It was one of the cool things I think they did also with the Rise of the Resistance. But I would say in total, it's really about like 3-4 minutes of flying. And then you're out of your seat and exiting. But there's all that buildup. You know, you probably spend another 5 to 10 minutes waiting to get in unless the line's really long.
Yeah.
And then you get on the ride and then you walk out and you can walk back out and I took some pictures in the Falcon just walking out. And then you walk out and you're out of there in probably another 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just every time. And one of the cool things, I love the detail, and I just don't know how many people even paid attention to this, but if you go, there's different ways you can go into the cockpit depending on which crew you are. I kept on going to the one where you walked through the corridor where Han and Leia kiss. and they've got that little crank that she's trying to move that she can't move, and the goggles above it. And so I did it. My wife was with me at one point. I was like, yeah, I think we should just stop right here for a moment. She was like, not having it at all. And I was like, come on. But it was really, it was just cool to see that. And like every time I would walk by, I'd try to move the crank because she couldn't move the crank. I just thought it was fun to try that. But I just thought that little detail there was really cool. And then
Mike's hands were filthy.
Yeah. I'm a nice man.
I'm nice man.
But they had the training remote and the helmet sitting over the Dejerik table. There were Porg nests in different parts of it because the Porgs were, you know, right after Last Jedi. So the Porgs had taken hold within it.
Well, that's to make up for the squirrel problem.
Yeah, there's a lot of squirrels in Disney. But there's the floorboards. They've made them kind of rattle the way that you would think from walking around the Falcon in the movie.
Interesting.
So it's not like perfect. It's not meant to be. You're kind of walking around as if this was the hunk of junk that it is.
Wow,
which I have another story about that with the Rise Resistance because they just do a good job with the character.
You think the stormtroopers then would have been able to realize they were hiding out in that?
Yeah, you would think so. I actually should have been trying to see if there was a compartment and use it for smuggling.
You know what line I would do in the Falcon is my favorite thing is when the steam starts coming out in The Force Awakens and there's that ADR line of Finn going, "What's going on?" Ray goes, "Help me with this." And he goes, "What's going on?"
It turns into like video game dialogue.
It's so funny. Anyway, Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah,
the flagship.
Smuggler's Run was great. Rise of Resistance, I will tell you, it is absolutely jaw-dropping. Unfortunately, my first experience, the ride was half broken.
Oh.
And so where you're supposed to go through this whole line and have this whole experience where you go in, you get a briefing from Rey, and I actually got to experience this the second time. So the second day I went, it wasn't broken.
Oh, good.
But the first time it was broken where instead of seeing BB-8 rolling around and like beeping and telling you a little bit what's going on, and then a hologram of Rey, like an incredible hologram of Rey, how they did it and made it look right. It was beautiful.
It's freaking me out.
And then you go out from that, you see Poe's X-Wing, and then they put you on a transport with an animatronic of a Mon Calamari, who you get to stand really close to, and
sent,
I sent this video.
Yeah, which was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And then Nia Nub's in there, and then you're hearing all of the different... They're like, okay, we're going to get you off Batuu, because you now know... And I'm sorry, I apologize if anybody's doesn't want to know this, because I didn't want to know the spoilers. You know, I will say, spoiler alert for kind of where this is all going. But you get on the transport, and Chris and Ryan, do you want me to not tell everything?
Go it. Do it.
I couldn't care less.
Do it.
Okay. So you get on the transport. You're then brought in.
I care what happens. I don't care about spoilers.
Yeah. But when you... So you walk onto a transport, and the doors close behind you. And, you know, as the doors are closing, you're still looking where you just were, where Poe's X-Wing was and the Batuu and everything else. But you get in, and there's like a six-minute showcase scene in there with the animatronic and getting off the planet. And then you can see through all the video screens that you're actually looking out into space. And then a First Order ship uses a tractor beam to bring you in. The same door that you walked in opens up, and you are on an Imperial Star Destroyer or a First Order Star Destroyer.
Did everyone gasp?
No, because I think a lot of people had been on it already. And people knew about it. But that was the thing. I only experienced that my second time. The first time, I didn't see the hologram. I didn't see BB-8.
Oh, no.
And they took us through a back hallway that wasn't even like... themed. It was like a gray hallway. And then you took a right and you were on the Star Destroyer.
I was gonna say, I don't think you were on that ride the first time.
It was really weird, and it made me be like, you know, that was cool. That was all right.
Like,
and
I
then
guess.
when I went through the full regular experience, I was like, no, this is incredible now.
Wow.
And it was just sort of I kind of thought it was May 4th.
Disney doesn't want you to know.
Well, it was May 4th, so you kind of realized they were like, well, we can't just not have this ride open.
Right.
So they might have forced it.
Was it shorter or something, too? Maybe it was like, this will move people quicker through.
Maybe. It did. It definitely shortened it. But I think they were having technical problems.
Wow.
But they...
Call up George.
But I don't think they should have done it. I think they should have said... This experience is too important to the whole thing. Because you didn't even know what you were doing there, because Rey tells you that you're supposed to know the name of a secret base. And when you are beamed onto, or tractor beam brings you in, The whole thing is Donald Gleason, Hux, and Kylo Ren are going to interrogate you to get the name of the secret base.
And you gave it up right away. Right away.
You're like, Pakara! It was Pakara the whole time. You're yelling it. Yeah, I was like, let me go. But when you missed that whole story of why you were actually doing this whole thing. So I just thought it was so weird that they did that and that they let you go on. Nonetheless, it was still incredible.
Yeah.
You walk in and then all of the First Order troopers or the officers are interacting with everyone. And a lot of them were actually great. And they seemed to just pick me out of the line every time that I was in. And I was wearing a Falcon shirt, and they were like, oh, that ship, huh? And I was like, yeah, you know, fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy. They're like, you're right, it is a hunk of junk. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow, that's so good. That's fun. That's very funny.
That's a nice yes ending.
Yeah, they did. And then there was one person who was wearing glasses who had said, I will not abide by anyone being out of order and like being incredibly serious. And then someone walked by and, you know, did bunny ears to him, and he saw it in the reflection of his glasses.
Yeah.
But immediately played off of it and like made a joke about that person. And I was so impressed that it was, they built it right into the storyline. They didn't like stop and react. They just kept it going. It was great.
Wow.
But then you're in there and then you go into a scene where Kylo is going to interrogate you. And then the whole room starts to shake and the lights go down because he's using the Force to start to interrogate you, which is very cool. But then you start to see like kind of laser lines go around the wall and the wall opens up to, and they say, we're from the Resistance. We're here to get you off the, you know, save you. You get on the ride, you go around, and I won't give away all of it within there, but you're kind of on a dark ride and you're rolling through seeing different animatronics of Kylo Ren, of Donald Gleason, of Finn. And then you see the full size AT-ATs. And there's actually a difference. If you go on the left side or the right side, you don't get shot at by the AT-ATs. Oh. But if you go to the left, you get shot at. Like, you go up to the level of the main cockpit of the AT-AT, and the two troopers are like, wait, hey, them, they're the prisoners. And then you start to see the guns lean towards you, and then you spin around, and the whole thing starts to blow up around you, which was incredibly cool.
Wow. Really, really cool. It's like seeing King Kong. That's crazy.
And then you go out, and eventually they have a screen where, like, Kylo jumps down and starts to walk towards you. But then you have two different carts where his animatronic pulls you towards him with the Force, which was really effective. And then you come out of that, eventually escape because something hit it. But then you go underneath these giant turrets as they're firing out on a big screen that makes you look out and think that you're actually seeing the Resistance coming to save everyone. But you're underneath like four huge turrets, which was incredible, that are part of the Star Destroyer. And then eventually you get to an escape pod and they drop you out, kind of like you're dropping out Tower of Terror.
Wow.
And you drop out and you're flying through space before you get back to Batuu. And that was the majority. And then you get back and you see.
Do you actually drop?
Yeah, there is an actual bit of a drop. It's not as significant as Tower of Terror.
Okay, it's not like Tower. There's definitely
a drop, which was
cool. Are you strapped in during this? Or you?
Yeah, you just have a seatbelt. But they do a great job of making you feel like you actually have escaped from an escape pod. You come out and then you see
Mike's just throwing up the whole time.
But then you see other escape pods who had made its way out back to Batuu, and including the Mon Calamari Beck, who's the person who's with you. And there's a whole back and forth.
They should do a thing where they like split up. They say like, you guys go in that escape pod, you go in that one, and then on the video screen, blow one of them up.
I agree with this.
I like that. That's
hilarious. That was great.
I think everyone should get their own individual one, and they see all the other ones blow up.
You see the other one? You said this is Ryan Johnson's Star Wars world, so they should have been.
You're right.
Hey, kid, that's your mom's escape pod.
Such a Disney thing to do is like have kids be like, oh no.
Just screaming, full speed to planetfall. Oh.
And I missed the moment where Kylo's lightsaber comes through the roof and tries to get you, which was awesome. No, I'm saying
I was going to say. You're reading the map at that point.
But you're rolling through and you just look up and the lightsaber comes flying down.
Now, I've seen YouTube videos about people are trying to figure out how they do that.
It was very cool.
Put that on your watch list.
So how long is this thing?
So if you do the whole pre-show experience, like I was talking about that I missed the first time, I mean, that's like 20 minutes. That's awesome.
That's substantial.
That's a significant ride,
which is really cool, which is what makes it, you know, feel like so much more than a lot of other rides.
Right.
And then they do this incredible projection mapping, where when like the lasers shoot and blow up sides of the like where you are in the Star Destroyer, you can see like the innards of it burning and sparking and everything, and they make that look really good, which was really cool. Oh, and I forgot to mention the Smuggler's Run. When you make mistakes, you damage the ship. So when you get off Smuggler's Run, you might see like a bunch of flashing red lights, and then the intercom will say, "Oh boy, these ones really destroyed the ship. Gonna get the mechanics up here," which is kind of
that's great.
Yeah, which I like that a lot. Wow, but I mean, both rides were great. Rise of the Resistance is definitely the showstopper. Smuggler's Run is great as well and a lot of fun. But both of those rides were so much fun and so steeped in doing Star Wars well.
Oh, man.
Like none of it felt like cheap. They went full bore within it. Wow. And it was so much fun to see that. My only complaint about it was just that they shouldn't have let me go on it without the full experience. I don't want to see that.
Wow. Well,
but you got to go for 2 days. Some people wouldn't have been able to go on it at all. So
true. But also think about if you did go only one day and you went on it one day and that one experience, because the line is really long. And if you only went on it one time and you didn't get it, that'd be a little disheartening. So aside from that, Oga's Cantina, we talked about the food. Doc Ondar's, cool, but a bit disappointing because they're out of everything. Every single, I would say, primary hero, they don't have anymore. They do have primary villains. They have Kylo Ren, they have Vader's, which I bought both of those lightsabers. Mm-hmm. And they have like Ventress, and they have the reforged Skywalker lightsaber, which I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going to buy a Rise of Skywalker. Come on. And so they didn't have Luke's lightsaber from Return of the Jedi. They didn't have Anakin's lightsaber. They didn't have Obi-Wan's lightsaber. They didn't have Qui-Gon's lightsaber. They had there were a couple characters I'd never heard of that they had lightsabers for.
And these are park exclusive lightsabers. Those are probably the leftover ones from the Build Your Lightsaber experience.
These are hefty. These are really well made. I'm sure there are reviews where they're like, "Oh, it's not as good as this collectible," but they're really well made and very cool.
Is it like the what was it, the artifacts ones, or is it just the hilts?
It's the artifacts one. It's you get the actual saber with it. But I would say, and that's the same thing for when you go to Savi's workshop to build your own lightsaber. So it's not just the hilt, it comes with everything.
Wow.
But they had things that were, I was so excited about, like very cool jackets. And the market was supposed to have all these things, and they either have decided that some of the stuff was too specific when they launched it, you know, not enough for general fans to buy. Or they just sell all the stuff out, if you want a Rebel Pilot full jumpsuit, they don't sell, they're sold out, they don't have them anymore.
Well, I do want that. Yeah. Now I'm sad.
I want it. I was going to spend the money to get it. And then also, if you want Jedi robes, most of the time, they don't have this, most of the sizes are already sold out.
Oh.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, you were there May the 4th.
True.
And also to all our listeners, May the 4th, I hope it was with all of you. I feel like those are the things that are probably like, if you're not there, were you there at 6 a.m.? If you're not there at 6 a.m.
I was there when the park opened, but I didn't go to try to buy that right away because I didn't want to carry it around all
day. Yeah, you don't want to be carrying around.
So yeah, but actually I had talked to them about like, oh, you know, most of the lightsabers have been sold out for months. Most of the ones that you know.
So,
yeah. And then, but things like Luke's lunchbox from Dagobah was one of the things I was most excited about getting. And it is such a dumb thing for me to be that much excited
about
great.
To
get.
It's got those breadsticks in it.
Yeah, the bread. And they don't sell it anymore.
Oh.
And they use it. And then Yoda's flashlight from Dagobah that he steals from Luke.
They're probably playing into also a little bit of like a collector's market.
Well, they were initially, but now I think they're not. And then like the ring from Last Jedi that
You know,
that Finn and Rose show. They had that initially. They don't sell that anymore.
Wow.
So just like little things that I was really excited about. Yeah. I was adding. I was like, I'm definitely going to get this stuff. And then didn't have it.
Yeah.
So, but I think I texted the group. I was like, first world Star Wars problem. I can't spend $2,000.
Relative to the full experience. Yeah. But I mean, what a great way to celebrate Star Wars, and especially on May the 4th, and Mike, we said it off the pod, but we all couldn't be happier for you.
we were
just like, we know, and I'm sure listeners of the pod and hey, we're still here, we still do these, I've heard the journey. I mean, you used to have a segment leading up to the unveiling of Galaxy's Edge. So I mean, like, to hear this, this is a long time coming. This is, it was like this or finish the book today, and I'm so happy we chose this.
Mike, you built a lightsaber, right?
Yeah. So,
what color kyber crystal did you go with?
Which was actually the one of the coolest things about the whole thing was that that's about a 40-minute experience. Oh, I think. Wow. Like, so, well, you go, you start to look. There's a little bit of waiting, and then you go in. And I got a blue kyber crystal. I just couldn't help myself. I had to go with blue.
Yeah.
But you go in, they do a whole like presentation talking about the person. They're, you know, talking about, oh, you know, stormtroopers may think this is scrap metal. And we're like, but no, we're building. And they do, they ask you to close your eyes, and then they come out with a full like these cartons of crystals. But but they're cooler. They're presented really well. You pick out your own crystal. You put your own crystal into the hilt. You build the whole hilt. You pick all the pieces. Definitely somebody could have the same combination, but there's enough combinations that makes you feel like yours is unique.
Yeah. Because
you choose the switch, you choose the base, you choose two different main parts of it, and then you choose the top of it, which is like the ignition or the igniter at the top, which can be varied throughout. And you choose four different, you can do peace and justice, you can do power, which is clearly the dark side, you can do elemental, and you can do like old school, almost High Republic versions of it. And so you go and choose and decide what you want, and they help you build it. But then there's an entire thing where they're talking about the different crystals and who had these crystals in their lightsabers and who it represented. And then there are different times where the colors in the room change based on what crystal they're talking about. The music changes. And I had full body chills when they started playing Luke's theme, when they were showing the blue crystal and then the green crystal. And then they started, you know, into this whole thing. And then as you put everything together, and before you ignite it for the first time, Yoda, Frank Oz, starts to speak to you through the room. And he's doing an entire thing talking about your journey to become a Jedi. And I honestly was so kind of overwhelmed by it. I can't even remember everything that he was saying, but it was so good. And like twice, there's two different moments where Yoda is speaking. And the person who's leading the whole thing, they do a great job of having the reverence for Yoda speaking. And there's just kind of a nice acting moment within that. But then they kind of he comes back, and after you've ignited it, you know, he has a whole thing about being a Jedi and how you do that. And even though there's some people there with red lightsabers, it works really well.
He's like, except you guys.
But they also have, calm down. They have everybody ignite their lightsaber at the same time. So you ignite it, and then like you all lift it together, and they're playing the music, and it just, you know, you can't help but be totally caught up in it. So
wow.
I'm really excited about having this just as my lightsaber now.
Yeah.
But again, I thought it was going to maybe feel cheap, but it doesn't feel cheap to me.
That's great.
At all. And it's really just spectacular. And it was,
is great. It plastic or metal?
It's definitely some form of plastic, but it's a more significant one. It's, you know.
Yeah. But it's substantial. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Wow. How do you check that thing on an airplane?
You don't. You put it in the overhead. You carry it around you as long as all you got. I had an entire bag of just the stuff I bought. I bought Sabacc. Another. You know, I had Sabacc already, and I bought that too. I think I bought four stuffed animals. I bought a Jedi holocron.
Wow.
I bought three lightsabers. And I think
you're doing it. You had Star Wars Christmas.
It really did. But I think that's probably, you know, we've only talked about this and we haven't talked about Obi-Wan, and here we are an hour in.
Wow. Well, that's the other news, that while you were there, did they do anything? Was that like a big reveal?
No, it would have been cool if they did. There's no screens or anything in Galaxy's Edge.
Well, I guess you're supposed to be in the world.
Yeah, if you're in Smuggler's Run, there's a screen.
Hondo's like, oh, look, there's a show about Obi-Wan on.
That would have been awesome.
They could have worked it in there.
Yeah, they could.
Well, yeah, the trailer looks great. I mean, it's, you know,
it's,
I can't wait.
I can't wait. I loved the fact that they kept the binocular scene in it, because people have been memeing that so much. Uh-huh. So I'm like, like, clearly that's a response. Like, we have to have this in the next one.
Love that they have the Inquisitors in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do we think that, you know, we don't have to do like a shot by shot thing. It's, you know, we're all stoked. Is it Coruscant? Do we think it's Coruscant?
I do believe it is.
Like, I think it is too.
Yeah. And out of the trailer, I could say just once again, Mike, amazing way to spend May the 4th. I spent May the 4th doing my favorite thing, watching the TBS marathon. Gotta have it. Nothing like Star Wars commercials. Ended the night watching A New Hope. Some people call it Star Wars. And I'm watching it with my dad and my mom. I was home over May 4th. We traveled together. Just circumstantially, I happened to be home on May 4th. And when Obi-Wan dies, spoiler alert, his robe falls down. And my dad said, "What if he is just a hologram in that battle?" And now my mind is ticking. My mind is running.
That's the hot and fresh for this
one. That's the hot and fresh.
He's force projecting himself.
He is force projecting himself. And we're going to find that in the Obi-Wan series.
Wow.
Wow.
How do you think? That's my prediction.
Wow. But it works, though, right? Like, it does. It's not something that would break Star Wars to do that. It would honestly, it does feel like it would enhance your experience of watching.
And also, they've set precedent for items transferring through the Force realm. Like, it's happened before. Yeah. So, I know. But
Reddit disputes it. Yeah. They did have physical interaction between Luke and Leia in The Last Jedi.
Right.
Not just that he gave the actual dice, but he kisses her forehead.
Yeah.
And however, again,
he also in Rise of Skywalker carries the lightsaber out of the.
Oh, title. That's true. He does.
Yeah, I was gonna say they reinforce it
in a terrible scene, but like it does.
They still do it, so it's set. So I'm just saying, that's my. We like to give some predictions. I feel like that might be a nice little set piece moment, but
I think it's so delicious how mad some people would get about it.
I love it. I loved
what was it, Joel Edgerton. And be like,
yes,
like you trained his father.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
there's nothing colder than that.
That's great.
That's an Edgerton burn.
And classic, like, what a cool Edgerton thing to happen into like a super famous great actor that played that role. You know what I mean? Like when Joel Edgerton played Uncle Owen, he wasn't Joel Edgerton.
Yeah,
but like it happens to be that he's like a great actor who's super famous now.
Yeah,
so is he like super cool. famous? I think he's famous enough. Maybe not super.
Famous. What's his biggest role?
Well, now you put me on the spot.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know that I can.
I don't know. Was it? I don't know. The Gift. Okay, maybe not. Still, super famous, but really great. He's a great
though.
Actor.
Yeah, he's recognizable though.
He's played a cowboy in something, hasn't he? Or a drunken cowboy.
Literally on IMDb, The Gift is the first thing. The Great Gatsby. He was in. Loving, okay. He was in.
All right. Okay. Well, he's been in movies since
The Green Knight.
Green Knight, yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, all right. What's everybody picking on me? Green Knight just... special? Dude,
oh, yeah.
Just great right. movies.
He's no, I just, I was just trying to think of like how well.
I couldn't place him. I always thought he was like wasn't he on like a CW show or something?
No.
Oh. Who am I thinking of?
I have no idea.
Oh, I'm thinking of Pratt. Sorry.
You're thinking of Chris Pratt. You're thinking of Chris Pratt being on Everwood.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Oh, my
Joel
gosh.
Edgerton was on Jack and Bobby.
Oh, there you go.
What a reference. He was on American Dreams.
American Dreams.
Yeah, that's great.
Well,
so it looks great. Can't wait.
Yeah.
It was a nice. Mike's great. Can't wait.
It was a very nice May the 4th surprise. You know what? We just got the other trailer not too long ago. And so, like, it wasn't really on my radar to expect any kind of content. Like, I thought there's always that in the back of my mind, like, ooh, they're going to do a 30-minute episode of Obi-Wan, you know what I mean, or something like a special 20-minute preview.
Well, I said to you guys when the trailer came out, I said, "Oh, I'm so happy I'm not at Galaxy's Edge, so I could watch this the second it comes
exactly.
out."
Exactly. I'd feel bad if anyone can't watch this. Meanwhile, Mike's walking through some hallway.
Yeah,
with a
Mike's
lightsaber.
Going through the freight elevator to fight Kylo Ren.
That's true. That is one of the things that I like, especially in Galaxy's Edge. I do like the idea of the data pad where you can turn your phone into a data pad for Star Wars and you can do all these other interactions. And
that's great.
I'm gonna do that when I go back.
Yeah.
But it was the first time to like just pretty much put my phone away with the exception of taking pictures was a really nice thing to just feel like I was totally not looking at the rest of the world. Like when you text, I was only the only people I was texting or even reacting to was the droids.
Yeah.
So I knew that the trailer was out there and I was excited to watch it later that night. Unfortunately, the cantina put me in such a state, I don't even remember watching it the first time I watched it, so I had to watch it again.
That's all right. That's well earned. That's a well earned.
Oh, and I forgot to say, when you order the Rancor flight of beers,
yeah,
the whole staff chants Rancor, 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 and then most people get into it, and for some people got like a little bit into it. But when I ordered it, it was like the whole bar was into it. The whole camp. And I walked in and I was like, "Do you serve droids?" And they immediately were like, "Well, look at Rex. Rex works here." I was like,
"Oh, wow.
Good job. Good job."
Yeah. Wow, that's great. Inclusive. I like that. That's
but
nice.
I'm very excited about Obi-Wan. I'm a little just concerned. To me, they've set it up to seem to have a lot of gravitas to what they're doing. And I want it to fulfill my expectations. I don't want to walk away. Filler episodes, whatever. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's only six. So I think the way they're pitching it, too, is like a mini series event kind of thing, which to me, I almost feel like they're treating it like a mini movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're messing around. I really hope not. I hope we don't get a random episode or something.
Well, it was like I was watching Disney Gallery Book of Boba Fett, and it was just times listening to Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni rationalize some of the things that they did just made me be like, oh, man, I don't know what to think about what's going to happen with Obi-Wan. Like, coming off of Book of Boba Fett, those first four episodes, every episode of this better be like episode five of Mandalorian Boba Fett.
As much as I love this character, I don't want like the episode four, the big like episode four moment to be that like we get the silhouette of Kit Fisto.
We don't need to mess around with that stuff. I love it all. I feel like we can keep this one a little closer to character, you know what I mean? We don't need to push it too far, but I'm truly excited, and also just I have no idea what's going to happen to see Obi-Wan on the lam. There's a lot of thoughts, and that's after watching a New Hope, some call it Star Wars, this past week. It does make you like excited in that same way where you got the prequel excitement to say, like, how did this happen? And now we're getting a little taste of it. They're doing a good job, and I'm very excited for it.
And if you can watch that video that's been going around of Ewan McGregor answering like the press questions
about so great.
The prequels, because it's such a cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh man,
we've talked about it. He just very well articulates things that that we've mentioned on this show. Not that he was copying us.
Being the only
just about
to
how like generationally it meant different things to different people, and now that they're making it the generation that grew up on the prequels that was their Star Wars are now.
Yep.
Older and don't have that
reaction
the people had, you know, it's just pure love for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he was talking about it was just like really cool and classy and like, you know, exciting. He was talking about how it's, you know, they were kind of like deflated after they worked so hard on those movies because critics were so tough on them and stuff, and now he's like so excited to be part of it again because people who grew up on it loved it so much.
Yeah.
And it has like a completely different legacy now.
Just going full circle to our beginning conversation about kind of being the only people in the room that knew what it was. I mean, that was that's it. And now to have it kind of hit this point where he's just like, yeah, we had fun making them, and to see Hayden back and everything. It's just, it really is heartwarming. Yeah. So,
and he talks about it. It's amazing. He really rides this like wonderful line of not being like, people hated them. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just like, listen, like people had some reactions, but it's like young people loved them the whole time.
Yeah. And I think if Sam were here, he might have some insight into how these like pressers work and things like that. And kind of these actors, they know the line of what they can say and not say. So I think it's cool that Disney's kind of acknowledging. And maybe it was just Ewan on his own. And either way, I think it's cool that they're kind of acknowledging that as an ideal and as a presence and like a part of the Star Wars fandom. They're not just saying everyone loved everything forever and it all was good. But I think it's cool because it does show kind of the journey we've all gone on through all these movies. And it's this just special time of year where we remember it all.
It's true.
Well, man, we've
done it.
I don't know. I want to talk more. We'll get into obviously the last five chapters of Last Jedi. Light of the Jedi. We'll get there.
Oh yeah.
But I also want to talk about Clone Wars because I have been so far behind. We're not going to talk about it tonight because we're already deep into this podcast. But I want to talk about Clone Wars because I think.
Wow. for?
Trying to make this thing supposed to talk. Why is it not talking?
This is haunting. I felt like we're doing like a bit.
Mike, I thought you brought one of the
Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen, with the dark shadow of the Empire rising to take their place.
That's my Jedi holocron.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool. It has the transmission on it?
Yeah, if you put different kyber crystals in it, it has different reactions.
Wow.
And you have to put your hands in a specific position on it to get Obi-Wan to talk.
Wow.
I'm sure you got to put your hands
in
a different position.
Now?
I am in season six now.
Six of seven, right?
Six of seven.
Yeah.
And there are times where I'm, you know, completely emotionally wrapped up.
Yeah.
And then it seems like it jumps back to an episode that has no significance
exactly.
at all.
Exactly. It's like, well,
why are we still
season
doing
six
this
is
season
also
six.
Like the season without Ahsoka at all.
Yeah.
Well, so that was the other
thing. It's kind of the lost missions, right? Isn't that what season six is?
Yeah.
How,
it was like a
how
Netflix,
did they just end season five and Ahsoka's not in it at all?
Yeah. So I believe those episodes were kind of on, either on the chopping block, or they were brought, like, it was kind of a season that was brought together by leftover stories that they had.
Yeah, okay.
And then I think they became a Netflix exclusive.
Right.
At first.
It was called The Lost Missions.
Right.
There.
So I think it was kind of like bonus content. And then, well, then they kind of repackaged it as the season.
Yeah. Season seven opens with the Bad Batch, and then it gets into the business of like wrapping up the Clone Wars.
I mean, I love Clovis episodes.
Yeah.
Just give me more Clovis, please. That's all
right?
that I want.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
So well, great. All right. We've talked. I appreciate both of you indulging me and our listeners
indulging me
and all of it.
Of course.
And last thing I'll say, thermal detonated Coke bottles is the greatest brand integration that has ever happened. I brought two of them home with me. They will sit on my bookshelf.
Yep.
What an idea. And when you go up to them, there is a droid that is sitting there that moves around when you buy your Coke, and it's awesome.
That's cool.
Awesome. And I love
it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got so much of that stuff, and gonna go and have some drinks out of my Rancor teeth tonight. Another thing I thought I'd never say.
I love it. I just can't wait to see your house, Mike, just decked out.
It will. I mean, it's it,
yeah.
It is.
Every
it's
day good. Is it's gonna look happen. More and more like this cantina.
That's the goal. Well, that is going to do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. We will be back soon to talk more about Obi-Wan, likely right around that time those first few episodes.
Yep.
Drop and
follow
very
us,
excited for
like us, rate, review, watch that playthrough on Jedi Fallen Order,
which you can buy a Cal Kestis lightsaber at Galaxy's Edge.
There you go, always relevant.
It's always there. It's always topical. Thank you for listening. Tell us your Galaxy's Edge stories. Email us at droidspod@gmail.com. Love to hear about your experience as well. And that's going to do it for Ryan and Chris. I am Mike. So long. This has been the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
What they throw.
Annie?
Oh, that's good.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen, with the dark shadow of the Empire rising to take their place.
Wow.